In a dispute between permanent and transient crew, transients are always wrong. Brunn found herself facing an angry captain, while the first mate pored over her identification and other belongings.
I suppose you can explain why someone named Brunn Meager, if that is your real name, would have credit cubes and strips that belong to the Carvenoe family? Brunhilde Charlotte Meager Carvenoe? Which, according to my database, is Lord Thornbuckle's youngest daughter? Or do you want to try to tell me you are Lord Thornbuckle's youngest daughter? The one who appears in society papers as Bubbles Carvenoe. Admittedly, she's blonde, so are you, but that hardly seems adequate. What, you kill her for her papers, or is she wandering around someplace trying to convince a thick-headed planetary militia that she's not some farmer's daughter?
None of the answers that came first seemed likely to help the situation. Brunn wondered what Captain Serrano would have done if, as seemed most unlikely, she'd ever been in a similar fix. One thing, she wouldn't make any jokes, such as that her father was a farmer, among other things. A family saying she'd heard since childhood, "When in doubt, tell the truth," came to mind. It might work.
Those are my papers, sir.
Respect costs nothing and pays a high dividend, she had heard from her grandmother. She hadn't believed it then, but she had never been at the mercy of someone as angry as the captain looked.
So you are claiming to be this, Lord Thornbuckle's daughter?
Yes, sir.
You care to explain to me why you're traveling on a freighter carrying fish meal and working your passage when you could buy the whole damn freighter according to your credit rating?
If they'd done a credit check, then anyone watching might pick up where she was. Nothing to do about it now. She had more urgent problems. The first mate's expression was as forbidding as the captain's, and she'd already heard about his propensities from the relief cook. The truth, but not the whole truth.
Sir, I wanted to prove I wasn't just a fluffhead, like they said.
The way you broke Slim's wrist, I wouldn't think anyone would call you a fluffhead. Hothead, maybe. How'd you get a reputation as trouble-free on the winter? I thought Joss Haskins was a better judge of character than that.
Nobody on that ship tried to drag me into a bunk and rape me.
What's so bad about Slim? Does he have bad breath or what?
The captain quelled the mate with a look.
The point is, I have trouble believing Lord Thornbuckle would let his daughter go off working transient crew jobs halfway across Familia's space. Does he know where you are?
Well, no, sir.
He would have found out from the yacht's crew where she had been with Lady Cecilia. He had expected her to stay there. She suspected he wouldn't be entirely pleased to know where she was now, nor would her mother.
My mother would have a cat.
Bubbles eyed the captain, wondering if she could take advantage of that momentary lapse in his anger.
Tell you what, we can't afford legal trouble of any type. I don't really care who you are, but if you are who your papers say, you've no business pretending to be a commoner. And if you're not Brunhilde Charlotte Meager Carvenoe, then her family needs to know someone else is using her papers. This is something for law enforcement to sort out. I'm confiscating your ID and your credit cubes until we arrive at Rockhouse. Turn them over to the station militia. Do you happen to know the balances of the accounts?
She hadn't looked at them in some time.
Not really, sir. Why?
That admission, she saw, shook his conviction that she was an imposter.
Because you and I and my mate are going to certify the balances as of this date, so you can be sure, or the real Brunhilde Charlotte's family can be sure, that I haven't run off with some of it. I will allow you to send a message to your family, if you wish. Charged as an advance on your salary.
Did she wish? She tried to think what the date would be on Rockhouse. The local date, not universal. Her father might be there for the biennial council meeting. Uncle Serval would be, anyway. And even Buttons might be there. But what could she say? Could she phrase a warning so they would understand it and not get themselves into worse danger? And she really did not want the Crown Minister or his sister Lorenza to know she was on her way. She came down finally on the side of caution, both kinds. Caution with the captain. Perhaps he'd see that an imposter would hardly send a message to a home that wasn't hers, and with her family, so they couldn't reveal information they didn't have.
I'd like to send a message, but I don't want to tell them when I'm arriving. As you said, my parents would not approve of my, my choice of conveyance.
I'm not prepared to lie for you, young woman.
No, sir. Could you send? You were right. I'm on my way home. And then, love, Brunn.
Tell me one thing. Why do the society papers say your name is Carvanoe when your papers say it's Meager?
My mother's name is Meager. All the children use the maternal last name on identification until we're 25. It's supposed to be safer.
Ah. Well, Miss Meager, consider yourself warned against any further brawling. You are confined to quarters except when on duty in the galley. I'm taking you off general duty and making you the cook's assistant. And as I said, your identification and other materials will be turned over to station militia when we reach Rock House. Do you have anything further to say?
No, sir.
Right then. Get to work.
She had plenty of time locked in her tiny cubicle with its blank walls and hard bunk to realize how close she had come to complete disaster. And how close it still was. Suppose the mate decided to come after her, too. He didn't, but she slept badly the rest of the trip. Brun discovered that Rockhouse Major turned a different face to transient crew suspected of impersonating rich girls. Her captain had contacted station militia, and she found herself and her papers in a dingy, cluttered office, watched by a bored but obviously capable young person of doubtful gender with a sidearm.
If I could just make a call...
People in uniform wandered in and out.
If I could just make a call...
Emotions suffused the air of the station. Boredom, hostility, defiance, fear.
If I could just make a call...
Finally, a tired-eyed older man appeared, looked at her, and shook his head.
Come on.
He led her to a proper ID booth, where in only a few minutes her retinal scan, fingerprints, and other data confirmed her papers. He shook his head again.
You really are Lord Thornbuckle's daughter. Would you mind explaining what you were doing hiring on as transient crew?
Oh, it was an adventure.
Brun realized now just how silly that sounded, and she didn't seem able to find the insouciant tone she had cultivated in past years. He just stared at her, a tired man who clearly wished spoiled rich kids wouldn't waste his time.
Do you need anything?
No. If I could have my things...
Yes, just sign here.
Her credit cubes and strips, itemized, lay on the sheet he pointed to. She started to sign, and he pointed, making it clear he wanted no mistakes. She checked then, and found nothing missing. Her battered little duffel, with its few changes of clothes, seemed full enough, and if it wasn't, she could buy replacements.
The captain said if you were legal, he'd deposit your pay, less a fine for brawling. What'd you do, if you don't mind my asking?
Another crewman tried to jump me. I broke his nose and wrist. Stupid, I should have seen it coming.
I don't know what it is you kids are looking for. You've got everything. Why look for trouble?
I'm sorry. I was stupid. I'm going home to admit it. Is that all right?
This time he really looked at her, and his eyes warmed.
I'm glad you weren't hurt. We see enough kids getting hurt.
Out in the concourse, Brun was still a scruffy transient spacer to look at, dirty and shabby, with an ordinary scuffed duffel over her shoulder. She ambled along, relaxing a bit in this familiar territory. First, she would get something to eat, then a shower. No, a shower first, then call Ronnie. No, call the estate downside and get someone to send the shuttle up. She slowed as she came to a bank of public communications booths. She put her duffel on the shelf of an empty booth and started to close the door. Someone leaned across from another, a big, bulky man who looked both frustrated and dangerous.
Hey, you came out of that militia station, didn't you?
Yeah.
You seen a rich bitch youngster in there? Kind of throws her weight around?
No. All I saw was this fat cop trying to make out I was somebody else.
Damn it. I'm supposed to find this girl. Loudmouth blonde, they say. Real stylish. Some mucky-muck lord's daughter. Are you sure you haven't seen her?
Not me. Is that the only militia station?
Nah, worse luck. Where are you in from? You perm crew or transient?
Transient now.
Brun held up her well-calloused hand.
Signed on to a shit shoveler as a cook's assistant, and then they had me down in the stores 3 shifts out of 4. I didn't leave home to be some cow's personal assistant.
His eyes lost interest after a long look at her hand.
Yeah, well... I guess you didn't meet any daughters of the aristocracy shoveling shit, did you?
He moved away, toward the militia station entrance. Brun could not move. She had to move. If he went in, if he talked to that man, he would know. She picked up the headpiece, put it back as if uncertain, and moved on down the concourse. How could someone like that be looking for her already? Had something happened? She lengthened her stride, almost ran into someone, pausing to look in a display window, and told herself not to spook. The captain had queried ahead about her. Anyone who watched the militia regularly might have overheard. As long as she got off Rockhouse Major before that dangerous man could find her, she should be safe. She took a slideway, then a tram, putting a sector and two levels between her and the militia office before she dared stop at another comm booth cluster. This was higher income territory, though her scruffy clothes weren't that unusual. No used clothing stores here, but also none of the high-priced places that expected you to know their names. Display windows showed the latest style. She'd been gone long enough for them to change. Thigh boots? Laced socks? Tunics were longer, dresses shorter, and someone had decided to ignore the waistline again. She stared at a long tunic patterned with zigzags of pale pink on pale green over pink slacks as she waited for the connection to go through. She had decided to start by warning Ronnie.
Yes?
It sounded like Ronnie's voice, but a very cautious Ronnie. Brunn hoped it was. Ronnie she might influence, but anyone else in his family would lecture first and listen afterwards, if then.
Ronnie!
Yes, who is this?
It's me, Brunn. Bubbles, you know. Don't say my name, don't. I'm up at Rockhouse Major, and you're in great danger, and so is your family. Don't say anything. Pretend I'm someone else. George, maybe.
I was expecting a call from Jerry, that is. I don't really have time to chat right now. Listen, George, why don't you call me back later?
Ronnie, you must listen. It's critical. I'm being followed. Your aunt has remembered who did it to her.
Then she's not pregnant? I don't believe it. And if she is, it's certainly not mine. Who does she think she is?
Brunn grinned. Ronnie had an unexpected gift for this.
Lorenza. You know, the fluffy one with the important brother.
Oh, I say. Surely not. Harmless as a... And besides, she's here.
Now? Oh, Ronnie, believe me. Poison. Don't take anything she offers. Get out of there now. Get George. He's in danger too. I'll explain when I get down.
Though how she was going to do that without using her ID and thus triggering pursuit, she didn't know.
Well, of course we'll come. Short notice, no bother. Anything for the royals, what?
Don't overdo it. Assume she's listening.
Read my lips. It's no problem. We'll be there. Pick a number.
That old game. Now, what were the shuttle slot codes for this station? The booth had local datanet access. She punched up the information she needed.
E19 or 21.
Be there soonest.
Brunn put down the headset. Soonest gave no real idea of how long it would take Ronnie to extricate himself from his house, find George, get to the family shuttle, file flight plans, and get here. Right that moment, she wanted him here instantly. Someone she knew, someone she could trust. She was getting very, very tired of adventure. Ronnie closed the satellite circuits carefully and clicked off the privacy shield. It wouldn't have been hard for someone to tap into that unscrambled call if they'd had a mind to. He'd better assume the worst. His mother, in her long lace gown, stood at the door of a room full of older women, all similarly dressed. They were eating, stocking up for an evening at the theater.
Ronnie, dear, who was that?
A fellow at the regiment. Sorry, seems something has come up.
Oh, no. I was counting on you, dear. Why can't they get George or someone else?
I'm supposed to pick up George on the way, actually. Sorry, Mother, it's rather urgent.
What, dear?
Now, Mother, you know I'm not supposed to talk about regimental business.
Her face clouded. She opened her mouth. He gave her the old smile, the one that always melted her.
But I will tell you, because I know you won't gossip, that some fellow's gotten in a bit of trouble about this girl, claims she's pregnant, claims she can prove who's, you know.
Ah, but you have the implant, and the law doesn't...
There's law and there's family. All of us who, knew her, as it were, must confer with the regimental legal staff. Terribly confidential. You won't tell any of your old cats, will you?
It wasn't you. You and Rafa.
Nothing to do with me and Rafa. A wild party a while back. I know I didn't reverse my implant, or even know the girl. But there could be a claim if I don't go in and have it checked out. And they've got the gene militia, or whatever they are, standing by.
Oh, remember I told you George and a few of us were taking the shuttle up after the opera? I think we'll just go after this. It's too much trouble to stop back by.
Ronnie was appalled at his own invention. The story seemed to be sprouting branches and luxuriant foliage in all directions. He could almost see the young woman he had supposedly partied with, although her motivations wavered. Was she trying to claw her way up the social ladder from a not-quite-important family, or was she a muckraking journalist out to expose the foibles of the rich and notorious? She had a sister in entertainment. She had worn purple that night. That had never happened. She had a fake diamond collar.
Be careful, Ronnie.
Of course, Mother.
In ways she would never know, he intended to be very careful. He was already in evening clothes, and he didn't have time to change. As he went toward the door, he saw Lorenza gesturing to his mother, and shivered in spite of himself.